KLYT Broadcast Studio. This is ABQ Connect.
Cynthia Yanoff joins us. She's the author of How Do I Miss That? Gas Pump Confessions, Drive-Thru Obsessions, and Figuring Out What Really Matters. Cynthia, thanks so much for taking the time. Really looking forward to walking through this.
Well, thank you for having me. It's great to be here.
You know, just on some of the things I've already kind of looked at pre-interview, I kind of get the feeling, you know, you, like all of us, have those stories. You know, I don't want anyone to know this, but I have a feeling that somewhere you had a God moment where you were like, you know what? God causes all things, and I'm using those stories. Is there any truth to that?
Oh my goodness. Yes. And here's the thing. I grew up in a strong family of faith. I'm so grateful for that, but it was also a family that valued humor. And if you couldn't laugh at yourself, then it was going to be a little bit of a problem in our house. And I'm just so grateful for that now, because I feel like if you can look at portions of your life, places in your life, mess ups, and you can laugh, like, that goes a long way. And if we can believe that the Lord uses those messy moments, it's a game changer. And in the title that you just mentioned, it talks about gas pump confessions. And there's a story in there about that you're welcome to read. I'd love for you to read it. But I think too, one time when I was going to my law firm, I used to be a lawyer a long time ago, a bad one at that, everyone, don't even worry. But I was going to the firm and I was parking. I usually parked on P2 and I ended up at P7. And right as I got there, there's this crash and my car stopped and sparks flew. And turns out the clearance level on P7, well, it's a lot lower than it is on P2. And I literally lodged my car into a parking garage like a missile. And I talk about this more in the book, but I just would say this. I've spent so much of my life thinking the most important work was happening on the 45th floor of that office building in downtown Dallas. And I think the Lord said, like, yeah, you know what? I'm doing some important work in the basement. Like, the basement moments matter. And so just one of those times where horrifying, embarrassing, funny, all the things, maybe not so funny to my husband and our insurance company, but those moments where you have to look at that and be like, I can either think this is the end of the world and this is horrifying and what bad luck, or I can be like, Lord, you have something in this, and he will reveal it. And for me, it was like, listen, the basement moments matter. And yeah, not all the work's happening on the 45th floor, whatever that looks like metaphorically for you. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, what I'm finding too, is from what I'm, you know, hearing from you and seeing, in the book. Now, I haven't had a chance to read through it. I've skimmed through some material, but you know, God's agenda, is often different from our agenda. I think sometimes, you know, we put, you know, the career. Now, listen, nothing wrong with having a strong career doing well at school. And, but sometimes, and your family, actually, when you said how much your family appreciates humor, I think our families would get along really well.
And
I'm going to hold up a mirror to myself. Here's some confession for me too. You know, there's times when you're around a crowd and we're drawing attention to ourselves and we're focused on ourselves. And it seems like one of the things you found, that, you know, you really focused on, and correct me if I'm wrong, probably covered somewhat in this book, you know, is the, being intentional about, making sure that we're lifting up the cause of Christ, more, you know, that when people see us, you know, if we're going to be an image bearer, that they see him. It's okay to be funny and have fun, but who are they seeing? Do you want to speak to that at all?
Yeah. Well, I think that's part of the whole concept of the book. I mean, the title's How'd I Miss That? And I feel like there's been a lot of my life as a girl who, again, has grown up with faith, that I look back and I'm like, how did I miss that in the midst of it? And I think many times we're so consumed with what we're doing. And I think we need to be focused also on how are we doing it? Because as Christians, our brand is love. Like, if Nike is Just Do It and Subway is Eat Fresh, like, our brand is love. They will know us by our love. And I think about this back to law for just a minute. When I was in law school, we had the first class I took was contracts, and there was only one test at the end. That was your whole grade. And I was a good student. I went to class. I studied. I did all the things, and I got the test and I read it quick, did two essays, and I was like, nailed it. got my grade about a month later. I had an F. I've never made an F. I thought it was a mistake. I went in and the professor said, hey, listen, like when you read the question, you must have just gone too fast. Like you read it wrong. You answered a question we weren't asking. And I think that's a word for us as believers is we are in a culture that is asking questions about us, about what we believe, what our faith is. It's asking questions about our God. It's asking questions about what we value, about themselves. Are we good enough? Can I be loved? And I would just say, listen, if we're answering the questions with anything but the answer of love, then we are answering the wrong question. And I just want to encourage us in that yes, we have one chance opportunities. I had one chance to show what I knew in a contracts exam. And we have one chance opportunities every day with the grumpy clerk at the grocery store and the kid that wants to talk when you're way too tired and the boss that didn't give you the promotion. We have one chance opportunity to just show them what we're about. And I would just encourage us, like, don't miss it. Don't miss these moments to be on brand, to be about love.
Yeah, I love the illustration. And I want to kind of bring our listener to the place of, you know, not every day am I in a mood to kill them with kindness, but how fun is that, right?
Yeah.
When you have opportunity each day, now here in Albuquerque, I'll make it easy for you. Practice that in your drive to work, especially if you end up on the interstate. Practice kindness and kill them with wave and smile. But don't do it sarcastically. It's Albuquerque, so be careful.
Yeah. That's funny. Well, I grew up in El Paso, fun fact. So I've been to Albuquerque many times. I live in Dallas now, but I have been to Albuquerque many times on the way to Santa Fe to ski and do all the things. So I have good friends in Albuquerque. I'm a big fan.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's a beautiful place to live. But you know, we live in a fallen world and a lot of what you put in the book, is a great opportunity for us as believers, to practice, you know, some of the things that you cover. You know, there's all kinds of topics that you cover as well. What about friendship? Is this something that, you cover in the book? You know, one of the notes in preparation for the interview says, you know, these friendships, they don't happen by accident. They're built on intentionality and vulnerability. You want to speak to that?
Yeah. I mean, I think it's hard. I'm asked to speak. I'm very grateful for this, but I speak all over the country. And a lot of times I'm asked to speak on friendship. And I used to do kind of the how-to on friendship. And I've kind of decided, I don't think we need a how-to anymore, guys. I think we need a why-to. Like, why does it matter? Why does deep community matter in our lives? And I think of that story of the paralytic on the mat and his four friends take him to Jesus to get him healed. And it's too crowded. So they have to go up on the roof and they cut a hole and they lower him down. And Jesus heals him first spiritually and second physically. So like that's a sermon in and of itself. But then it's noted that Jesus healed him because of the faith of the friends. And if Jesus is healing people because of the faith of their friends, then we got to buy into the fact that our circle matters and it's significant. And I used to think, well, yeah, because there's people all around us that are on the mat. They're paralyzed, right? And they need Jesus. They're not going to be healed, so to speak. And then I realized also, we're on the mat. Like you and I every day, in some respect, we're also spiritually paralyzed. You may not be physically paralyzed, but spiritually we are when we want comfort over calling, when we care more about our reputation than loving people. Like there's so many places where I'm like, man, I have spiritual paralysis and I need people to drag me before Jesus over and over again, because otherwise I will not be healed. And so my hope is that we buy into the why too. It matters. Why does deep community matter? It matters because if we're going to do it well in this world, in this culture, then we have to do it alongside other people who are also pointing us back to Jesus.
You know, I want to ask you something along the lines of friendship, because you know, part of that is accountability and trust. And are you prepared to speak to the, and if, you know, if you're not prepared to answer where I'm headed, say, you know what, go talk to your pastor.
Yeah.
But speak to the person who wants those friendships, wants that accountability, but the trust is an issue. The ability to be able to find that person that you can lift each other up, sharpen one another, carry each other to Christ on a mat, Can you talk about some of that, a little more on that process?
Yeah, I'm going to say something, and then you can go talk to your pastor too. But I would say this, guys. There's different levels of friendship, and I think we get into trouble when we assign a level of friendship that's not actually the reality of what that friendship is. My good friend Sherry says that she was always taught there's mailbox friends, there's front porch friends, and there's couch friends. And we all have a lot of mailbox friends, and they're more casual friendships, right? And then there's some people that make it to the front porch, and those are closer, tighter bonds, but there's very few people that really sit on the couch. And I think that's important in friendship. Like, I think we got to realize that the people on the couch, the ones we're closest to, like, those are the ones that we lean in with. But we get into trust issues when we're trying to give our couch conversations to mailbox friends. And so I would just say, really pray through that and have two or three or four really crazy friends, like that paralytic had, that will do anything to drag you before Jesus. Those are your couch friends, but don't have the same level of expectation around people that are not of that level of friendship. And then I'd say one other quick thing is, we just, as believers, we've got to do better at reconciling with people, like forgiveness, because people are going to let you down. They let me down. I let people down every day. Jesus says in Matthew 5, like, if you're at the altar, he's talking to religious people. If you're at the altar giving a gift and you realize you have a problem with a friend, another believer, like, drop your gift at the altar and go take care of that first. And I think that's a word for all of us, is that there's some places where we're maybe trying to do the God things. We're going to church, we're in the Bible study, but we have some real conflict in our lives that needs to be resolved. And yeah. So I would just encourage you to consider that. And where some places, maybe today, maybe that's why you're listening, it's a word today, that you need to offer an apology or accept an apology or let some things go. And listen, there is a real enemy, and it's Satan. That's the real enemy. And he wins when we are divided. And I would encourage us to not allow that, and just to walk forward in reconciliation and make amends where that needs to happen in your life today. And realize that whoever she is or he is, he's not the enemy. There is an enemy. And let's not let him win because we don't reconcile well.
Yeah, that's powerful. Actually, before you jumped into it, I was going to ask about, you said when you go to the altar and you realize that this brother has something against you, this speaks to those times where maybe you've been insulted or offended, and being unforgiving, or vice versa. You're on the end of, you're the one who caused an insult or offended or, been unforgiving. And for those that are listening, and the next time that comes up and you think about this interview, I want to touch on this too. Cynthia, sometimes the action comes before the feeling. If we're aware of what God wants us to do, and we practice doing it, do the feelings catch up?
Yeah. I mean, sometimes. But feelings are deceitful, right? We all know that. This is now, you can stop talking to your pastor now, maybe go to the counselor. But yeah. I'll dabble in that a bit and say, yeah, the feelings aren't truth tellers a lot of times. And so I think we follow God's word, right? The biblical truth. I have this friend who had a 5 and a 3-year-old, and she tells a story of the Lord just kept laying on her heart to teach them how to dial 911. Well, you guys know, if you have little kids, like, that's scary, because you're like, you teach them this and then you take a shower and the paramedics are there. You can't trust them, right? And so she was like, I'm not doing that. But she's like, I could not go on with my day. Like, it was that urgency, the sense. So she got a whiteboard in the playroom and wrote 911 and got her cell phone out and explained how to do it. And these are the questions you should be able to answer. And this is the one time that you're going to open the door for a stranger. And so she finished and her kids were like, okay, thanks for sharing. Like, that didn't make sense, right? And she said she about 2 hours later had the first and only massive seizure she's ever had. And her 5-year-old grabs a 3-year-old and runs down to the playroom and gets that little whiteboard and brings it back and sees the 911. It hadn't been erased. And she gets her mom's phone and does all the things her mom had just taught her to do. And here's the thing. It didn't make sense in the moment, but they were given the life-saving and the life-giving information that they needed in the moment. And I think that's how the Lord operates. Like, listen, we're getting messages on a whiteboard all the time and through scripture that don't make sense in the moment. The feelings are not there. The understanding is not there. But we can trust that the author and creator of all things, when he gives us his word and the Holy Spirit speaks something over our lives, you don't really need to understand it. You just need to go and do it. And that's my encouragement, is there is probably some places in your life, definitely in mine, where I need to stop trying to feel it, to understand it, to decipher it. And I just need to be obedient, just do it. And so that would be my thoughts on that. My encouragement to you. It's hard. I want you to know, I feel you deeply. I'm in the same boat, but it's a word that I go back to a lot. Like, I don't have to understand it. I don't have to feel it for the Lord to still be calling me to do it.
All right. Well, that's a great to be able to apply. And I hope that the listener is taking notes. And actually, better than that, you can find How Do I Miss That? Gas Pump Confessions, Drive-Through Obsessions, and Figuring Out What Really Matters, a book by Cynthia Yanoff, wherever you find your favorite books online or in the bookstore. We're up against the break. Cynthia, can you stay with us?
Sure, I'd love to.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break and come back with more. We're going to cover the topic of parenting, foster care, and your faith. We're going to get all that in the next segment when we come back from the break on ABQ Connect. We're in the midst of a conversation with Cynthia Yanoff. How'd I miss that? Gas Pump Confessions, Drive-Through Obsessions, and Figuring Out What Really Matters. Hey, before we jump into the topic of parenting, Cynthia, let me throw this one to you. This is a softball, I hope. What was your favorite part of putting this book together?
Turning it in. I mean, I'm just being really honest, like being done with it. I'm probably like the most extroverted person you've met, and you haven't even met me. And writing a book for me is tough because it's quiet, it's in your head, it's methodical. And I'm like, woo, let's go do something fun. And so I'm so grateful that the Lord ordained these opportunities. This is my second book. My first one was Life is Messy, God is Good. And I'm so thankful that he's ordained it. And my hope is, as I write them, that they're really funny. That's my publisher's hope too, that we laugh really hard, but then in the midst of that have spiritual truth. But and How'd I Miss That being the second book? I mean, I was for a while there, I was like, how'd I miss the fact that I have a 2-book contract? I have nothing to say. Took a long time, but then the Lord is always faithful. And I was just grateful when I turned it in to know that the Lord showed up and gave the words, and all glory to him for sure.
Well, good, good. Well done. To tell us, Di, that debt is paid. You've done the book.
Right, right.
Well, let's get on to the topic of parenting. You know, there's a couple of things to touch on here. When it comes to parenting, you know, what feels most important in the moment? Is it always what is most important?
Almost never. And take it from a mom. Listen, I'm a mom that is currently in my 50s with third grader. Okay, can you brace yourself for a minute and think about that? I have a kiddo that's starting law school. I have one that just started college. And then we adopted a little one out of foster care, and he's in third grade. So I kind of am getting a redo on parenting. And I just realize now that what seemed most important in the moment almost never was. And that's hard to hear when you're in the midst of it. So maybe you can take it from someone who's kind of been down the road and is doing it again now. But I just think about all the moments that seemed like the big moments. I remember my husband came to me. My husband played college baseball, and he came to me, a big athlete, and all my family, my kids, they're all big athletes. I'm horrible. I can barely walk. And so my husband came to me when our first one was like 5 or 6. He's like, hey, she's playing on the neighborhood teams, and I just don't think this is competitive enough. She needs to be on a select team. Like, and I was like, what? And he's like, the game's going to pass her by. I'm like, well, she's 6. Like, oh gosh, how is the game going to pass her by? And we laugh about it now. He was dead serious. But that's this urgency we feel all the time, is that like, if we don't get it right, if we don't do the right thing, we don't get them in the right school, we don't choose the right public versus private, we don't get them in the right friend group, on the right team, lead of the play, that somehow it's over. That's the end. And I talk about how in the book, how did I miss that? I talk about how my son, like my middle one, who's now in college, I got a call in kindergarten that he was being put in the reading club. He was behind in reading. And I was devastated. I'm like, well, this is the end for this kid. I mean, he's in the reading club. He'll probably never be able to read or get out of high school. He definitely is not going to college. Like, I guess we just make him comfortable. And at that, I mean, ridiculous to feel that way, but it was the reality. Like, I hadn't done enough. Apparently I should have breastfed longer. I should have read more books in the womb. And here's the thing I know now. He can read, everybody. Don't panic. That's good news. But he did have learning differences. I mean, for years we struggled with learning differences, and I prayed and prayed and prayed, and I begged God to take it away, and he didn't. And you know what? Thank goodness he didn't, because now that kid's in college, and I've had every coach that's ever coached him tell me he's the hardest worker on the team. Why? Because he's always had to work hard. Like, school's hard for him, and he's empathetic, and he's kind, and he's all these things that come from having a skinned knee, that come from being, when you walk hard roads, when learning differences crop up. And the very things God has used to make him who he is today were the things I was trying to pray out of his life. And so I just encourage you and say, whatever feels most urgent right now, whatever feels like it's going to sink the ship, you have a God that's powerful and good, and he created your kids with specific plans before they took one breath, and he will complete what he started if we can just trust him. So it's not as urgent. I would say if there's any way those things that feel urgent, just give it a tiny pivot and say, okay, I'm going to go from what's urgent to what's eternal, and I want those things for my kids, for my family.
Well, and while we are on the topic of parenting, and you brought it up, Cynthia, so I'm sure there's a story there. You mentioned being in your 50s with a young child. And, you know, I hear that. And you said, you know, a chance to do it again. I'm not in the same situation, but in grandparenting, I tell you, I felt like that often because, you know, I'm a different guy than I was when I was raising my kids, and another opportunity to do it better. But how did you end up in this situation?
Yeah. Well, as only the Lord could, he kept putting foster care on our heart. And I was like, foster care, like that's got to be for, like, I don't know, really spiritual people, like missionaries or people in the handbell choir. Like, I don't know, not us. And the Lord, as only he could do, is so gracious. And he just kept putting it on our heart. And so we got into the foster care journey, and I remember doing all the paperwork and saying to my husband at one point, I don't know that I can do this. There's so much paperwork. And my husband's like, well, you know, you are a lawyer. I feel like you can handle paperwork. I'm like, oh yeah, good point. So we got through the process and we got our first and only placement, and we were not adoption minded. That was not where we were headed, but the Lord was. And I could say a lot, but I'm going to sum up foster care in this way. And sometimes I'm not nervous, but I'm tentative about speaking out foster care because I know not everybody's called to it. I feel like a lot of people are, and a lot of people need to be obedient to that. But I know it's not for everyone. And so this kind of applies to whatever the Lord's calling you to. But I went into foster care scared of what it was going to do to our family. Just being honest, I was scared physically, emotionally, financially, like if there was spiritually, if there is something to be fearful of, I was. And I went into foster care scared of what it would do to our kids, our bio kids and our family. And I came out scared of who we would be if we had not done it. Because you're changed people when you do the things of God. When you are the ones that say, okay, like I'm ill-equipped, Lord, and I'm going to give you the most reluctant yes, but I'm going to do it. Like, your life has changed. And our life has changed specifically for us. I mean, we took our kids to parts of town we've been avoiding, and they sat in CPS offices with us and saw kids with everything they owned in a trash bag. Those were stories we had not hoped to enter into our bio kids' lives. But you know what? We did it. And we stood over a crib every single night, bawling, crying, begging God to do something mighty for a child we barely knew, because we understood it wouldn't end well if God didn't intervene. And here's the thing, like, this isn't a like, oh, pat us on the back, look at the Yanoffs, not at all. My hope is this, is to encourage you that when you do the things of God, you come out differently on the other side and you are changed. And the thing I think as believers we want most for our kids is we want them to live out their calling. We want them to do hard things. We want them to be able to stand alone. And if we want those things for our kids, we have to do it in our own lives. And the Lord is faithful and just and will protect. And it was very hard. And there were moments where I'm like, I don't know if I'll ever survive this? I remember someone said in front of one of my kids, would you do it again? And I said, I don't know. I mean, just being honest, it's the hardest thing I've ever done. And one of my kids said, well, just because it's hard doesn't mean it's not right. And isn't that a word? Like, mm-hmm. just because it's hard doesn't mean it's not right.
Yeah. Well, and as you're walking through that too, you know, you mentioned missionary, and I think, you know, you wanted to reach out and bless this child, and yeah, I think I've never been a missionary. I've been gone on short-term missions, but you know, when that happens, how many times do we hear people say, yeah, we're going to build a house. We're going to help them and do this. And they come back from the trip and the story is those people blessed me. Mm. And the work was hard. Mm-hmm. But God had a blessing in it. And I'm going to guess it's exactly Cynthia, what you found in this experience.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, it's not just because we have another child in our house. Like, you know, we got the kid and that was amazing, but it's a broken story. Foster care always is. But yeah. I know God differently on the other side of it. And I'm just being honest. I never put myself in a spot where if God didn't show up, it was not going to end well. And that was the moment. And I'm like, wow, he's faithful and he's just, and he's not always a remove the hardship kind of God. He's kind of a remember who I am kind of God, where you just have to get those moments, those Ebenezers. I just had to stack stones over and over of the times where he'd been faithful before. And if he's the same yesterday and today and forever, then he will be faithful again. And it probably won't be on the time frame I want. And it probably won't happen in the way I expected or wished it would, but it's always right. And so I'm just thankful for that journey. If I could give that to all of you listening, like that's one of the points. And how'd I miss that? Like, don't miss it. Don't miss doing the things of God. Don't miss doing it because things seem urgent that aren't urgent, or because you're fearful or you feel ill-equipped, or you've convinced yourself maybe later, my kids need to be older. We need to have better finances. My husband needs to travel less. Like today is the day you've been given to do the things that God created you to do. And so like, man, chase after that and don't miss it.
Well, as we approach the end of our conversation, I want to reflect back on, you know, much of what I've heard, Cynthia, is you have a deep faith. You know, you often return to focusing on what God intended, and you've shared even some scripture. A deep faith, it doesn't happen by accident. Do you want to speak to some of the things you've done to strengthen your faith?
Sure. It doesn't happen by accident. I read Atomic Habits, and apparently the whole world read Atomic Habits. And as a girl who's written a couple books, I'm just going to tell you that I was like, I'm going to read Atomic Habits because millions and millions read it. And I've written books and I haven't had millions and millions read them. So what's the secret sauce? And I think part of what makes Atomic Habits so popular is because it tells you how small changes give big impact. And that's the same thing in faith, you guys. A habit is just something you do enough that it becomes a routine. And so it's easy to look around and be like, oh, well, that person has a great faith. Well, you know, God just uses them for bigger things, or they're just holier. Well, no, they're just willing to do things other people won't. They have habited themselves, routined themselves into spiritual disciplines. And as boring as spiritual disciplines may sound to you, and me too on any given day, spending time in God's word, it's a game changer. If you want to hear from the Lord, if you're saying, I never hear, how did you know foster care? Go to God's word. If you want to, in the moment, have answers to things that are hard, or you're trying to stay away from something that's a temptation or a vice, like memorize scripture, have it on your heart, right? That's another one. Pray. Have people around you that are praying for you and with you. Have community. We talked about it. Friendships, like deep connected friendships of people that are going to carry you before Jesus. Like those little things make a big difference. And in my book, How'd I Miss That? I mean, that's the first quote. It's not from me. It's an unknown author. It's like, there's little difference between people, but the little difference makes a big difference. And so do the little things that will make a big difference, and don't overcomplicate it today. I mean, put your Bible next to the coffee pot, read some scripture tomorrow morning while you're waiting on the coffee pot, turn off the music in the car, go into carpool, pray, spend some time in that, call the friend that maybe, you know, that's a deep person of faith, but you're just not sure. Call him, man, invite him to coffee, do small things that make a big difference.
All right. Well, we've been visiting with Cynthia Yanoff, author of How'd I Miss That? Gas Pump Confessions, Drive-Through Obsessions, and Figuring Out What Really Matters. And I want to say this. I saw this. Louis Giglio had this to say. He said, How'd I Miss That? Will lift your eyes, fire up your faith, and leave you laughing along the way. That quote from a great speaker, singer, songwriter, and a man I know who loves Jesus. Clearly from our conversation, Cynthia, I see that in you too, and I know our audience will as they work their way through How'd I Miss That. We appreciate your time and welcome you back anytime. How fun. This was fun. I appreciate the conversation and you taking the time to walk us through this today.
Well, thank you. And thanks for giving me a few minutes to visit with y'all. And I just hope you're encouraged. You can always find me on Instagram, social media under Cynthia Yanoff. DM me. Love to pray for you, encourage you. Just, yeah, here to serve. So thanks so much.
All right. And thank you. Thanks for listening to ABQ Connect.